This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney. They didn't have what it takes to be astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Danny Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of The Doug and Danny Show as we get another week underway. It's the final week of February. That's right, the final full week of February as it blows right past us, and we have already put one high school winter's sports event in the books, the state wrestling tournament. We'll be talking a lot about that on the program today. We'll catch up with a pair of state championship coaches. They joined us Friday to talk about where they were setting. They're going to join us today to talk about the recap. Mike Shadwinkle as Grand Island repeats in Class A. Tyler Herman of Amherst, they have won it or been the runner-up five consecutive years in the home of the Broncos, and they have bookended three runner-up with state championship trophies, and we'll be talking with him as well. We'll also talk a little turkey with Gene Beerbaum of Kearney as we get ready for, their banquet, but we talked about this last year with Gene. We'll talk about it again this year. Organization. That's what I'm looking for, because Gene is always organized. We're going to talk with him in just a few minutes as well on the Doug and Daddy Show. Daddy out today because, you know, it is a Jim Rome type schedule, and Daddy just can't get enough vacation time. So Tony is out today, but we've got a full show. So really, who needs him to mess it up or prolong it? The big story, United States hockey. We'll talk the Huskers, we'll talk the Lopers, we'll talk the Broncos as well. But the big story, hockey last night. And again, not to throw water on the fire, but at least Colin Cowherd does it once in a while. Great hockey game. And I'm not a hockey fan at all. And I watched off and on around the Amazing Race, which was not quite as exciting. And of course, there was like some Family Guy on and some other things. But you have to watch the hockey. And good win for the United States. Great win for the United States. But I'm going to say this. Outside of getting a day off, does it even mean anything? Does it even mean anything? And anybody that even... The problem is the miracle on ice happened this day 30 years ago, and that's what should be focused on. But this big win will help us focus on hockey a little more. For anyone to even mention miracle on ice and last night's game, not in the same sentence, not in the same paragraph, but on the same page, then you are automatically not a hockey analyst or know nothing about hockey. Because if you compare those, you have no clue what you're talking about. This isn't even in the same universe. Just because the United States hadn't beat Canada in 50 years, how often do they play? Maybe once every 4 years. Maybe. And both teams are full of professional hockey players. Derek, you weren't around to watch the Miracle on Ice, so your generation, a little bit younger than Daddy and I are, probably not as infatuated with the Miracle on Ice. You've seen maybe the movie, you know all about it. If you're a hockey fan, you probably know more about it like you do. But I assume you watched the hockey game for the most part last night, or at least saw the highlights. This isn't even on, I don't even know how to compare this to other sports. Somebody today said it would be like the Super Bowl having, you know, the champions playing, you know, like Japan. We're expected to win that game.
Yeah.
That's what they're comparing the Canadian part of it to, but it has no comparison to the Lake Placid in 1980.
No, I completely agree with you. That Lake Placid game, the Miracle on Ice, it was the stage that the game was played on that made everything what it is today. This was a preliminary round game. I mean, this isn't a medal round game. This is just to see who moves to the next round, and both of these teams are basically guaranteed a move to the next round. However, Canada does have to get by Germany either today or tomorrow. I'm not sure when they play, but today or tomorrow they need to get by Germany to get into the medal round, which shouldn't be a problem for them. But a big win for USA beating Canada, but it's kind of like, I don't know, it's kind of like beating them, you know, it's doesn't really mean a whole lot, like you said. It was the last game. Both of the teams are gonna advance on. So, we beat Canada at their own sport. Too bad it's not for a medal yet.
Well, it's just like the United States getting beat in baseball, I say. I mean, yeah. Fine, you know, if you're Japan or you're Cuba or we're a Dominican Republic, that's as big a deal to them. You're beating the United States, the home of baseball.
That's like beating Kenya in marathon running. I mean, it's kind of similar to that.
Well, there you go. See, it's big. And Canada feels bad this morning, but I don't know if you can find odds on something like this. But I'm guessing the United States is still not favored to win the gold, and I'm guessing Canada has better odds on winning the gold.
And they probably got Russia in front of us, too, if they had to put the odds down. We'd probably come in third there, I think.
So take it for what it's worth. It was a great game. The bigger accomplishment may come if this team gets into a gold medal situation. Bodie Miller picks up a gold medal on the slopes, so that is huge. And I read you this. Here's what frustrates me. I pull off, as some radio stations do, they run in, they grab what's ever on the Associated Press, they read it word for word from top to bottom, and assume that the Associated Press knows what they're talking about. They have the second NASCAR race of the year as the top story this morning.
That's terrible.
With the Miracle on Ice and then last night's game and Bodie Miller below that. They even have the Utah Jazz NBA. So whoever was writing copy for AP last night has no idea about the Olympics and must be like 21. Jimmy Johnson reached the winner's circle for the first time this year in NASCAR Sprint Cup racing. I want to swear on the air right now.
Is it just because it's Jimmy Johnson?
It's the second race of the year!
He's probably the highest profile guy out there right now, and the fact that he won maybe makes it kind of top story news, but not the top of the news.
But I'm going with wins for the first time this year. Yeah, he was on a long one-race drought. Wow!
That makes me sick.
And again, thank God I didn't have to watch any of that thing yesterday, because from what I'm understanding, another joke. NASCAR. J-O-K-E. Joke. That's how it's spelled, by the way, for you NASCAR fans. You probably didn't know that. Hastings College Athletic Director Fran Hummel is going to step down. Fran, working on his golf game. Coach of the women's golf team, associate professor for physical education. He's been the AD for the past 9 years. He is going to stay on in his coaching role, but at the end of this school year, he will step down. So best of luck to Mr. Hummel, and the search is on. Over the weekend, 100th win for Nebraska's Stephen Dwyer. He is just the 18th Husker in school history to reach 100 wins. And on Saturday, just the 16th Nebraska wrestler in history, Ron Coleman, to win 4 state championships. And now what happens every time a freshman goes in and wins a state title, we start saying, ooh, can you win 4? Can you win 4? Will you be a 4-timer? And even Hunter Bamford of Kearney was asked that question in the interview. I think it was the third question that was asked of the freshman, who doesn't even weigh 103 pounds, but yet was asked that question. I love seeing young kids do well and then the interviews that go on afterwards, because it's the first time they've really ever had to worry about that. But Hunter Bamford wins it for Kearney, and that helps Kearney finish second in Class A. Grand Island had this baby wrapped up on Thursday. 5 champions for the Islanders. And Bamford won champion for Kearney, who had a rough semifinal night. Other champions from the area include Tanner Sturgeon of Cozad, Christian Nielsen of Wood River, Connor Bowling from Central City, Austin Wilson from Hastings St. Cecilia, back-to-back undefeated records. Went 46-0, I think it was last year, now 48-0 this year. So he's won 94 consecutive matches. And also in Class D, a pair of wins for Amherst, Justin Tobenheim and Bryce Dibbern. Also for the Palmer boys, Tyler Wickman and Riley Santine, and Sutton's Michael Schaff, who may never, ever lose again. But very few freshmen out there win state titles. And in fact, you expect to see them in the lightweights, 103. Well, Bamford is the only freshman that won a state title this year at 103 pounds. And as I take a quick scan, I think he's the only freshman that won a state title this year. I'll double check on that. So, you know, 4 years down the road, he might be the only young man that has that chance. We'll be talking again with Mike Shadwinkle of Grand Island, Tyler Herman of Amherst, coming up a little bit later on in the show. But a couple of other notes from yesterday. The Nebraska baseball team is not off to a good start this season, and it's too bad. They should be 2-1. They've had leads going into the ninth inning twice in their baseball games and have failed to finish, and they're failing to finish in bad team style. They're not losing by giving up, you know, a down the line double with two outs. They're not losing by giving up, you know, maybe a back to back solo home runs or things like that. They're committing errors. They're throwing wild pitches, and that was the case last night. Two errors in the ninth allow Fresno to score two runs and tie it, and then a wild pitch after two walks in the tenth. And they had two walks on Friday, so the Huskers are 0-3, and they'll try and do that again and get on the winning side tonight. And finally, before we move on from hockey, the Storm will be home this week for two games against Chicago. Five-game winning streak snapped by Des Moines. Maybe not the team you'd think that would snap it, but as we've seen, anybody can win in this league this year. And the Storm, 23-18-6, 52 points. They had a nice win over Green Bay at home on Friday. This loss to Des Moines was on the road. And, Derek, the Storm, no, I think without putting too much on them, they got 13 games left this year in the regular season, setting pretty good position for the playoffs, obviously. And with 52 points at this stage, they should be in the playoffs. Every other year they'd be in the playoffs.
Yeah, just about.
Already. And this is so far removed from what we've seen the last 2 years.
Oh, yeah. This is very far removed from last year's team. And if you were at the Friday night game where Green Bay was in town, if they can play like that on a night-in and night-out basis, they can beat anybody in the league. Green Bay, one of the better teams in the league, leading the league as far as points go, probably the favorite to win the Anderson Cup this year. The Storm came right out, played right with them, was physical, scored some good goals, looked really good getting around the ice, and I think they're hitting their stride right at the right time this year. And with the young team that they started out at the beginning of the year, they're all starting to get that experience, a full season of USHL experience under their belt. And I think they're headed in good directions right now.
Well, we're back from the Quest Center in Omaha. Didn't really take any calls Thursday and Friday, so Tiger Woods, of course, press conference Friday. A couple emails coming in on that if you want to weigh in on that or anything else that happened over the weekend, from the state wrestling tournament to basketball sub-districts and districts continuing this week, to the Olympics, to the Husker men, who just, if they played 20 minutes, maybe would have a much better record, but that's not the case. The Husker women remained undefeated, and Matt Coatney, we've rescheduled him from last week to this week. We'll talk to him about Nebraska women's basketball tomorrow. But when we come back, we're going to talk with Gene Beerbohm as we get ready. I love turkey. I love turkey, especially with gravy on it. But we're going to talk to Gene about that when we come back on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Has the value of your investment portfolio declined? Of course it has. Are you nervous or concerned about your portfolio and your current advisor relationship? Of course you are. Enough is enough. It's time for a change. It's time for an unbiased second opinion. Hi, I'm Matt Westfall with Centerpoint Wealth Management in Grand Island. At Centerpoint Wealth, we use three independent resources to analyze your holdings. We evaluate performance, annual cost, company overlap, and standard deviation. If you've reached the enough is enough stage, it's time. It's time for a serious critique. Bring us your statements and we'll deliver an analysis that you can use right now. Call 398-1174 or visit our website at centerpointwealth.com. That's C-E-N-T-R-E pointwealth.com.
Securities offered through Securities America Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Securities America Advisors Incorporated. Centerpoint Wealth Management and Securities America companies are not affiliated.
Hastings, it's time to go green with Woodward's Disposal Service. Residential and commercial, Woodward's has owned and operated their own recycling center since 1988. Plus, full-service trash pickup with toters or metal containers ranging from 1 yard to 30. And curbside recycling service is free. Need something hauled away today? Give Woodward's a call. And in a lot of cases, they can pick it up the same day. Family owned and operated since 1933. Call 402-462-9252 or at woodwardsdisposal.com. Remember, reduce, reuse, recycle.
Hi, my name is Dr. Joel Johnson. As a graduate of the University of Nebraska Med Center, I know that UNMC is preparing compassionate professionals and serving as a great resource statewide. I'd like to invite all UNMC alumni to an evening of fun and catching up with former classmates.
This free event is on Saturday, March 20th at the Kearney Holiday Inn. Please pre-register by March 5th at unmc.edu/alumni or call 402-559-4385.
Long ago, the great giant socket wrench came down from on high to proclaim...
Maintenance is cheaper than repair.
Keep your car or light truck in tip-top shape. Visit Tice Auto Care. For over 35 years, people have trusted Tice Auto Care for everything from tune-ups to overhauls. It's because they do the job right at a fair price, and they stand behind their work. So next time, visit the pros at Tice Auto Care. Corner of 3rd in Denver downtown. Call 462-8573. And remember...
Maintenance is cheaper than repair.
The UConn Huskies shocked the nation in last Monday's Big East ISB Game of the Week. Backdoor pass inside to Oriaki, who slam dunks it home!
A Moriaki putting it on Pena's head.
Can UConn pull off the upset in consecutive weeks facing 8th-ranked West Virginia?
And it's picked off by West Virginia. Ahead of the pack is Ebanks to the rack. He slams it home.
Join us Monday night at 5:45 for West Virginia and UConn.
Catch all the action tonight on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
We'll see lingering clouds today, along with some clearing developing as we head further through the day. There still is a chance of a few flurries or snow showers early, with a high in the upper 20s with northwest winds 5 to 10. Back to 10 above tonight. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly. Right now, 19.
Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on this Monday. El Conquistador chimes in. He says the Bassmaster Classic was the biggest story of the weekend. You know, we did talk about that last week, and since we're going to talk a little outdoors here in just a moment with Gene Beerbaum, let's tell you that Kevin Van Dam's the winner. He's like one of the likable guys, right?
Oh, yeah, he's a real likable guy. Real nice guy. Good winner.
Well,
good fisherman.
He wins, well, obviously, and he wins it going away. By 5 pounds, 51-6 total over Jeff Kreit. I don't know these guys. Todd Faircloth was third. Russ Lane, Brett Chapman. Mike Iaconelli finished in sixth with 37-5. It's weird to me as I look at this. I mean, it's not even close. If we'd had this kind of a Super Bowl, it would have been a 30-point blowout.
I was watching a little bit of it over the weekend, and it was real weird. Kevin Van Dam seemed to have a different strategy. I mean, he was fishing some different areas of the lake, going at a different approach, and apparently it paid off for him. So
now, obviously, they send out 50 guys, and then after the first 2 days, there's a cut. But there were two of the 50 guys that didn't weigh anything in 2 days.
I didn't know Daddy was fishing in this event.
I was going to say, you call yourself a pro? What? Throw a minnow in there, moron. You'll catch something. But Kevin Van Dam, 2010 Bassmaster Classic champion. He had the lead after day one. Not quite as good in day two, but then came roaring back with 19-7 on day three, and is going to be your champion here in 2010. Let's continue a little outdoor talk here. Gene Beerbaum joins us with the Area Chapter, the National Wild Turkey Federation. They have their annual banquet coming up this Saturday in Kearney. And Gene, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thank you for having us back. Appreciate it.
Of course, you hear Gene from time to time at some of our high school sporting events or an Amherst event or wherever he might be. And
fill in where we have to, yes.
I know.
When they get hard up.
You got a chance to see a lot of the wrestling at districts, and we were talking about that beforehand. So
good wrestling.
Amherst came through.
Yeah, they did. That was fun to watch up there at the district, and of course, watched it as much as I could on TV on Saturday. Watched it all, actually.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what's going on here. Last year, I think, was the first time that we had you on, and as I mentioned, this is new to me, and maybe it's new to a lot of people in the area that they haven't heard about the organization. Now, I think, we have Pheasants Forever, and we have Ducks Unlimited, and we have the Turkey Federation.
Right.
Everybody, I think, that's in all those chapters knows about everybody else, but
right. Talk
about the uniqueness of your chapter.
Well, the National Wild Turkey Federation, now, this is our 10th banquet. We're a smaller organization as far as Kearney's concerned. Nationwide, not so. I mean, it's been around a long time. There are 26 chapters as far as the state of Nebraska. Cozad, Holdridge, Grand Island, Broken Bow, and on. You know, everybody has their own chapter and has their own banquet. And it's a fundraiser. And just like the other organizations, we try to raise money for wildlife, habitat primarily. But the thing is, when you help wildlife, game, you know, we talk about game animals, obviously turkey, and you got Pheasants Forever helping the pheasant and quail and ducks and that. But when you help the game animals, you're also helping everything else. I mean, you can't help but to benefit non-game animals. I mean, just the common birds and, I mean, you know, whatever. I mean, so you're helping wildlife in general when we do this, and obviously you're talking about hunting, but it's not just hunting. There's a lot of other things that go into it. But one thing that the NWTF has, it's a little different than some of the other ones, is three sister organizations. One is a Jake organization, which is for the younger hunters, 17 and under, and they have a reduced price when it comes to the banquet. We are hosting or co-hosting with Cabela's on March 20th and the Nebraska Game and Parks Commission a Jake Day at Cabela's, where the kids can come out and do some turkey calling. There's actually going to be a contest, but there's four stations. The kids can shoot bow and arrow, the archery range. They'll have a laser gun, so they'll have a chance to shoot that way. Plus, the Game and Parks will have a station where they can just hear. I'm not sure what the Game and Parks will talk to them about, probably in wildlife in general. But that'll be a fun day out at Cabela's then, too. On March the 20th, that's a Saturday, starting at 10:30, and the kids will have we'll have free hot dogs and cokes for them, and some turkey calls that we're giving away to at least the first 50 Jakes that show up. And if we go over that, we're going to work with Cabela's. We'll get them all something. Another sister organization, one to just mention briefly, and there's two of them, but one of them is what we call Wheelin' Sportsmen. Wheelin' Sportsmen is an organization for handicapper or people that are in wheelchairs. So we're trying to get those folks that are less fortunate to have a chance to get out in the outdoors, whether it be hunting or other activities. And so the NWTF has that. The easiest way is to go to their website, nwtf.org, and you can get connected on what's available in different areas as far as people that are in wheelchairs and what can be done to help them to enjoy Mother Nature. Another one is Women in the Outdoors. The acronym is WITO or WITO. But Women in the Outdoors, it's a chance for women to do things. Some of it is hunting, but they have seminars and workshop weekends around the state, and they get a chance to just to do a lot of different things too, not just hunting. But the guys aren't around, and so this is their time to have a little fun and enjoy Mother Nature. They've done some neat things at the different refuges and up at Halsey. I know for one that they had, and probably 10, 12 different activities they can partake in.
Gene Bearbaum's with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show with the National Wild Turkey Federation. Their banquet is coming up this Saturday at the Buffalo County Fairgrounds. Doors open at 5, dinners at 7. Talk about where the monies go that you raise, what some of your projects have been, what you're hoping to do with the organization here in the next couple of years.
Well, again, the money is raised, and I don't know what the percentages are. A good percentage of it, obviously, will stay in the state of Nebraska. Some goes to national, which in turn comes back to us in grants. We also give scholarships to youth that they can apply for, so that grant money will come back. We work with Game and Parks a lot. I mean, we team up with them, and I think there are may have been an occasion or two where they have worked with Ducks Unlimited and Pheasants Forever, again, bringing some of the monies together that both organizations have. And there are a lot of projects, I don't have them in front of me, around the state of Nebraska where they have improved area, remove undesirable vegetation or trees and that, to try to improve that habitat again. But that's the goal of raising the funds.
Let's talk a little bit about what's going to be going on this Saturday. I think a lot of folks are used to what these auctions are about. I'm looking at the catalog here with some of the great things that you guys will be auctioning off, but it's more than an auction. Tell me what's going to be going on Saturday.
Well, yeah, you're looking in the live auction, obviously. We go through that, and we try to get businesses in the Kearney area to underwrite or sponsor the cost of this, so that anything that the print or the object brings is a profit, again, to help with the funds that we raise. But there'll be a lot of raffles, too. We have 11 guns to get rid of it away Saturday night. And so we'll have a lot of different raffles trying to get the guns down. And then the Jakes, I mentioned them earlier, the 17 and under, we have some drawings there for them also. One, there'll be a BB gun, just and some other fun things that will just be for the Jake's members only that are at the banquet. But, yeah, between raffles and auctions, silent auctions, there'll be a lot of fun things going on, and we'll keep them busy.
Anything specific you got your eye on?
I
know there's a print of the year. There's the gun of the year. There's some travel bags. There's some.
I like that luggage. That kind of looks good. And that lamp is kind of a nice looking lamp. And there's some sculptures. Although
the sculptures look really great.
Got some of those before, so I may just try to keep the hand down this time. The wife says I've got enough stuff in the house. We're running out of room.
We know that won't happen.
It's kind of an interesting one. Even silverware, flatware, I guess so a whole setting there, a table setting. That's kind of a unique item this year. That's different.
We've got all kinds of things, patio heaters, bars, and tables, as we said, as usual, the guns and the prints and the sculptures. But I saw some jewelry in there. There's going to be a lot of neat things coming up this Saturday for the National Wild Turkey Federation's banquet here in Kearney at the Buffalo County Fairgrounds. 5 o'clock is when it opens. 7 o'clock is when it starts. You can always find out more. Gene talked about it on the website at nwtf.org. And Gene, as we get ready, if they want to get tickets, what else do people need to know?
Yeah, that's thank you. The ticket for an individual, which includes your banquet meal and your membership for the year, is $45, and that $45 includes your magazine. You get when the Jake's has a membership, it's only $10 for a Jake, and they have a great magazine. The kids can really learn from. It's not just hunting; it's just wildlife stuff in general, and they really do an excellent job of putting together a good magazine for them. But again, $45 is a single. If you bring a spouse or a significant out of there, it's only $15 more for them to eat. And there are sponsor tickets. It's a more expensive membership, obviously, and there's some things you get with a sponsor membership, which is $260. And if they pay by Wednesday, and I'll give you my phone number here in a little bit, but if they buy their banquet ticket by Wednesday, then they're in. They get $100 worth of free raffle tickets. So we'll have a lot of raffle items. So it helps us in two ways. Obviously, it helps to get an account for the dinner, so we know how many meals we're going to be having. That's big. But and then again, it's going to help them because they get a chance for some. They can buy more raffle tickets, and they can come at the door. It's not a problem. They can pay at the door, no advance warning. But they just won't get the updated or the free raffle ticket. So we need to know by Wednesday if we're going to do that. My phone number is 440-2449. And I had Carl Schroers. He's on the card. We sent out cards, but I think it's in my bag on the floor there. But at least we'll get them a ticket. If they just call that one, then I can work out with them to stop by my office. Again, 440-2449.
Gene, anything else that the folks that you wanted to touch on that the folks need to know?
And just buy those tickets early, and would sure like to see them come out Saturday night. It'll be a fun time, and I think they'll enjoy it.
Well, it should be, folks. These are always great. They continue to grow, and the National Wild Turkey Federation, as Gene said, there's 26 chapters now in Nebraska. They continue to grow, and you can contact Gene for more information. You can go to the website, nwtf.org. The banquet is this Saturday night, Buffalo County Extension Building. Doors open at 5. The dinner starts at 7. All are welcome. It's a great organization, and Gene, thanks for, always, coming
thank
in.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Gene Bierbaum joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. We're going to talk state wrestling with a couple of championship coaches, Mike Shadwinkle at Grand Island, Tyler Herman from Amherst, and we'll do that right after this timeout.
This is the theme to Forever Lovers, the movie I wanted to see. This is the theme to Hillbilly Hamsters, a big hit with kids. I searched online. I couldn't find the showtimes. It was the only other movie playing. How bad could it be? Very, very bad.
Yahoo Search delivers movie trailers, reviews, showtimes, theater info, and more. All on one page, right at the top. Just what you need. Just one search.
Next time I'm using Yahoo Search.
Yahoo! Having gout is like living on a volcano ready to erupt into a hot, fiery flare. You try to control it with medicine and diet, but while you may have fewer flares, gout still sends painful reminders of who's in charge. Put flares in their place. Go to gout.com for information and ask your doctor if there are better ways to fight for fewer flares over time by reducing the high uric acid that causes them. Maybe that painful mountain could become a molehill. Gout.com. Fight for fewer flares.
Let's face it, your laptop, MP3 player, video game console, HDTV, and Blu-ray player don't run on hopes and dreams. So don't make any of them a third wheel on the outlet by purchasing a Leviton grounded triple outlet. Provide grounded power to three separate electronics from one outlet. Get the brass-plated Leviton grounded triple outlet at your local Hardware Hank.
You've got a lot.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Need health coverage? Now you can get the best of both. Personal service from your local Farm Bureau agent and a health plan from a company you know and trust. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska. Call today and find out about the great rates and great coverage available through your Farm Bureau agent. Among the many benefits, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska members enjoy fast and accurate processing of their claims. Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers are proud to serve the Kearney area. Call them today at 234-4922. That's 308-234-4922 to learn more about affordable health plans for you, your family, or your business. Farm Bureau agents are independent and authorized insurance producers of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association.
Mostly lingering clouds today, along with some clearing development as we head further through the day. There still is a chance of a few flurries or snow showers early, with a high in the upper 20s with northwest winds 5 to 10. Back to 10 above tonight. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly. Right now, 19.
Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN radio station. I want to thank Gene Beerbaum for joining us. Tyler Herman's coming up in just a couple of seconds, and then Mike Shadwinkle from Grand Island. And Burger King is feeding our guests on today's Doug and Daddy Show with a free meal deal. All you have to do is enjoy Burger King for lunch or for the evening meal. Some people call it dinner. Some people call it supper. Some people call it breakfast, from what I understand, by the time they get up. But it's the home of the Whopper, Kearney's favorite burger for more than 30 years. And in the morning from 6 to 11, their breakfast special, two sausage, egg, and cheese for sandwiches for just $3. We're feeding our guests on the Doug and Daddy Show with Burger King. Every day, a free meal deal. And our guest today will be taking part in that Burger King. This from Mark and Minnan, who says, didn't get a chance to weigh in on the Tiger Woods press conference Friday, but if he doesn't get back together with Elon, then Tiger's Cart Shack of Love will be the highest rated show ever on VH1. There is so much garbage out there right now. VH1 and MTV and high school reunions out there on TV land. There's so many of these shows that are going on. Now we're going to have The Life of John Daly on the Golf Channel. I don't even remember which channel I saw this promotion for yesterday, but it's going to be the name of it escapes me. Maybe it's Second Chance or something, Second Chance at Love or something like that. They're finding people that were high school sweethearts and broke up and or weren't together, and now 10 to 25 years later, they're going to put them back together.
There's so much dirt on VH1. The worst show on TV right now, Tool Academy. Terrible.
I want to see Bait Car. I have not seen Bait Car. Evidently, my TV has just become, and hey, I consider myself this. I mean, it's like the white trash channel of all time. And I'm going to have to start watching it because that's where I'm at. That is exactly where I'm at. Bait Car. Anytime Steven Seagal can be a star,
wow!
Then you got something.
Wow.
Well, congratulations to all the area wrestlers that brought home any medal this past weekend. And I'll tell you what, as you can ask anybody from Madison or Mitchell, every match counts because they ended up tied in Class C. So even if a kid doesn't medal, just one win by 1 point can make such a difference. It didn't necessarily happen that way for Grand Island because they blew everybody out, but it got interesting for just a little bit for Amherst, and we're joined by head coach Tyler Herman, who, along with his team, captured his second state championship on Saturday. Coach, good morning. Congratulations.
Thanks. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. How is the town of Amherst? Because I know they can celebrate.
Well, I don't know. I think they're doing a little bit of celebrating. I haven't been back there yet, actually. I'm not even in town. So I'm sure they did a little bit of celebrating Saturday night. I pretty much just slept. I was in bed, I think, by 10 o'clock Saturday night. I was awful tired at state tournament. I tell you what, I think that wears me out more coaching it than when I wrestled in it.
Well, Tyler, everybody was yapping about how great you guys were going to be, and you were number one all season, and how it was going to go. In hindsight, you didn't come even close to breaking the Class D points record, and I know that that is not and has never been a concern, but it wasn't all just a smooth path going for you guys. You got off to such a great start on Thursday, hit a little bump maybe Thursday night, and then we talked to you on the show Friday. Take me home from there. I know you were hoping for more than two in the finals, and we'll talk about their championships in a moment, but where did it get a little rocky? When did anybody start getting concerned that you might have a challenge from Plainview or Palmer?
Well, I think Thursday night in that quarterfinal round, we really started taking our hits. 1-11, big matches that first round, and really racked up a lot of points, and we ended up going 4-7 in the quarterfinals there. And I really, actually, we were probably favored in five of the matches. The only match we lost that we were favored in is probably 135 with Devin Shockey. He lost 2-0, the kid from Wakefield. But other than that, we were, I mean, probably the underdogs in other matches we lost a lot of close matches. And really, you know, sometimes you got to win those matches you're not expected to win. And, you know, we took a hit there, but we were still up by 25 in the race. And then Friday afternoon, I thought we had a lot of matches, you know, especially at 45, 16, 71 that we should have won, that we could win and push those kids through to the medal rounds. But we lost some heartbreakers. Gavin Kenny lost a 9-8 match. LaFosse lost by a point. And Spencer Trampy, 71, ended up getting pinned in a match that he was winning. And those were some kids that we needed to come through and get medals for us. And, you know, they fell short, but, you know, Friday night, it seemed like we started picking things back up again, got a few into the finals, and, you know, got four guys into that medal round in the consolation. So that kind of helped bring us back up there a little bit.
Let's talk about the two championships. You had some interesting ones there, and Bryce Dibbern made it real, real interesting, up 4-0 and ended up in overtime. And I don't want to watch the replay, whether that was a two-point near fall or a three-point near fall, but it went as a two, and he wins it in overtime. That had to get a little nerves going.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I knew that was going to be a tough match. When we got up 4-0 going to the third period, I thought we were set and great. And Bryce doesn't usually like to take bottom. It was our choice in the third, so, you know, we took top. We had turned him and rode him pretty good for most of the match. And then when he got that reversal with a little under a minute left, I still thought Bryce was in good shape, and he ended up getting a quick little tilt there to tie it up. And, you know, it was a two count. You know, both kids had a quick little two count for tilts that helped him out in that match. But, you know, going into overtime, I knew we were in good shape. Bryce is real good on his feet. He's got a strong blast double that he took the kid down with earlier in the match. And he didn't take long, I think about 10, 15 seconds in overtime, he hit that shot. And really blew through, and we were kind of stressing him all weekend and even last week at districts about hitting his shots and stopping. He was kind of getting in deep, and then he'd stop and sit there. I tell you what, that time he did anything but stop. He blew right through the kid like a freight train and actually put it right through his back, which was nice. And I tell you what, that was a nice win for him. He's a great kid, one of the hardest-working kids I've ever met, one of the toughest kids you'll ever meet. Heck, used to be a bull rider back in the day. But that was a great victory for him. He had kind of had a few close matches in the tournament, and to see him cap his junior year off of the state title was just awful satisfying.
A senior that goes out with another championship is Justin Tobenheim, and he was pretty solid all the way through.
Yeah, absolutely. Justin, you know, stays composed, always in great position. He's been there, done that. You know, never gets really too nervous this year. I mean, any match, he just went out there with a business-like approach, you know, taking it one match at a time. And, you know, even in the finals, you know, got out to an early lead and kind of shut down a little bit in the third period, but he was just staying in good position. He was close to getting a few takedowns there even, you know, on the edge of the map. But, you know, like I said, that kid, he's come a long way. I asked him after the match, I said, Justin, did you ever think, looking back to how you were in junior high, that you'd have two state titles in high school? And he just kind of shook his head and laughed. He said, no way. I was just hoping to qualify for state a few times and get a medal. And, you know, here he is, a two-time state champ, has the school record for career wins with 145, and one heck of a career.
I think it's so funny. I saw Justin when I was trying to track you down, I guess, after Bryce's match. Justin was just sitting up there in the stands, texting away or playing some game on his phone. I mean, it's just like, oh, ho-hum. Oh, did I wrestle about an hour ago? I mean, a lot of these kids seem to be that way, and I guess that's just the way you are when you're seniors. Four other medalists for Amherst, Tanner Tobenheim and Devin Shockey. Fourth place, Jordan Shields, Wyatt Shockey, each got sixth place. Tyler, always got to look ahead. Where's this program setting going into next year?
I think we're going to keep moving right along. We're not going to take any steps back. We have six state qualifiers back next year, four medalists, and we're going to bring up about three or four eighth graders. We've got another Klingelhofer coming up next year, actually. You know, looking at him probably being 103, 112. And then, believe it or not, Bryce Dibbern's got brothers in seventh grade that are triplets. So I tell you what, and Devin, Colin, and Logan are their names. So we're going to keep trucking right along. Hopefully we got some good kids coming up in that PB program. Dave Klingelhofer, you know, started the PB program at Amherst 20-some years ago. And it's been great. You know, those kids don't just show up as freshmen and all of a sudden they're magically good. So we got a lot of good kids coming up in elementary that are going to keep helping us, and hopefully we'll keep bringing home some trophies.
Well, I'll ask Coach Shadwinkle the same question in a moment here, but this is your second title, and with these kids coming up, you guys have already, you don't just go to an area, whatever the closest tournament is every weekend, that's not the one you guys have picked. Is the schedule going to stay the same, or is there something you're looking at, anything new on that horizon?
As of right now, I think we're going to keep the schedule the same, but like you said, you know, we do travel quite a bit. I don't like to wrestle the same kids week in and week out. We go up to northeast Nebraska. We wrestle the New York, they'll invite, wrestle a lot of bigger C schools. Go up to Ainsworth and wrestle some schools out of South Dakota, your Windsides, even Central City makes a jaunt up there. I like to see different kids, and if we take some beatings here and there, that's fine with me, because I tell you what, it's going to make us a heck of a lot better come districts and state. You know, and looking at our tournament next year, we're going to spice it up a little bit. We got Plainview coming in. They look like they're going to be Class D for quite a while now. Medicine Valley might be coming in. Elwood's a new team coming in. So, you know, for the most part, same schedule, but there's always some different teams you see that are getting in the tournaments. And, you know, like I said, I like seeing different kids every once in a while.
Well, Elwood's getting in. They're not scared anymore with that new coach, you see.
No, he's getting out. Now he wants to enter the Amherst invite. So.
Tyler, last question. Difference between this one and the last one, besides being a little more, I guess being older for you and a little bit more experienced, what's the difference?
Oh, I think 2006, it seemed like a lot of people didn't expect us there. Everybody was saying we're going to get second, you know, don't really have a shot at first. And we turned a lot of heads. We had one heck of a tournament, scoring 144 points back in 2006. This was a little bit different, as, you know, we were the favorite team, maybe a little more pressure. And overall, a lot of ups and downs. You know, I was satisfied with that team state title and everything, but I think we could have had, you know, maybe three more medalists. Nine medalists would have been real nice. You know, scoring maybe 150 points would have been nice. I think we could have did that as well. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's still a state title, a team state title. And that was our goal at the beginning of the season, and, you know, that's what we accomplished. So we're awful proud of it as a coaching staff.
Well, Tyler, we'll let you get back to your day. Keep up the great work. You guys have a great program at Amherst, and I always appreciate working with you. Congratulations again.
All right, thanks a lot, Doug. Thanks for covering us.
You bet. Tyler Herman, head wrestling coach of the state champion Amherst Broncos. We will take a break, talk Grand Island, and a couple more sports stories as well before we get out of here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Get born, get slapped, now get to school, be good at sports, always look cool, lift weights, be strong, know how to fight, stay out late, but be polite, now find a nice girl who'll say, I do, then have three kids who look just like you. Rake the leaves from the hedge and mow the yard. Honey, can you open this jar? You've reached a stage where you feel at ease. You've come this far and it wasn't a breeze. You can take on anything, of course you can, because you're a man.
Now that you're all grown up, it's time for some comfort. At last, there's a Dove for Men. Introducing Dove Men Plus Care. For skin as comfortable as you are.
Turn right in 1/2 mile.
I'm not great with directions.
Turn right now.
But now my GPS gets me wherever I need to go. TurboTax lets me do my taxes the same way. It guides me step by step through my return, searching for every deduction I deserve and helping me arrive at my maximum refund. Guaranteed. No wonder it's the most trusted tax software in America.
See for yourself at TurboTax.com. Choose easy. Money back guarantee details at TurboTax.com. Trusted brand claim based on survey July 2009.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
Whether it comes in a glass, on a plate, or in a bucket, Cunningham's Journal on the Loft has specials that year in and year out make them a favorite with Kearney area sports fans. College or pro, the TVs are always on, the crowd turned up, the food and snacks hot, and the beverages cold. Cunningham's Journal on the Loft, rolling through the winter and spring sports seasons. And when the game isn't on, the live entertainment is at Cunningham's Journal on the Loft, downtown Kearney. For exciting high school basketball action, keep it on our network of stations as we follow boys' sub-districts and girls' district finals this week. You can also pick the games up on ESPNSuperstation.com starting tonight on The Breeze 94.5 FM as Gibbon takes on Shelton. Tip-off is set for 7 o'clock. And don't forget Tuesday, the winner of that will play Ravenna. Sandy Creek will take on Blue Hill. On Classic Hits 98.9, Minden plays Cozad or Southern Valley. Kearney Catholic takes on Gothenburg. Boys' sub-districts this week.
We'll see lingering clouds today, along with some clearing development as we head further through the day. There still is a chance of a few flurries or snow showers early, with a high in the upper 20s with northwest winds 5 to 10, back to 10 above tonight. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly. Right now, 19.
He flipped me the bird, and then he was gone some beach. Somewhere.
ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us. Oh, man. That would be so nice. I'm not going to lie to you at all. That would be so nice. Daddy on vacation. When does he work exactly? That is a question that has been emailed and texted to me numerous times. So we'll have to catch up and see when that actually is. The United States hockey team... getting ready to win again, I guess. That's what's all coming in. But while we get ready to talk to Mike Shadwinkle here, I want to talk about a couple other things that happened or did not happen over the weekend. As we get ready for state swimming this week, then it's state girls basketball, state boys basketball, as you heard, boys sub-districts get underway tonight. And with the changes, you know, it's going to be interesting. And we're going to probably have Stoop Hospital on here in the near future. There's so much talk of the consolidation or the – there's so much of it going on right now and teams losing enrollment ship. We're down to, what they say, 51 football teams in Class C. Well, that's got to eat down to basketball. When will we get rid of the wild card again? Because this bunny bracket stuff on Monday nights just really jams people up when we get to this point of the season. And now you play for these girls in C and D, they're going to play one basketball game in 2 weeks, and that's this Friday. All C and D play this Friday. Their last game was last Thursday, and a couple of them had it on Friday because of snowstorm. But last Thursday to 2 weeks from that last Thursday is state tournament. One game in 2 weeks at this time of the season. Kids don't need that much practice. I think even the coaches will say they don't need that much practice. They'd rather be playing a little bit. When will they go back to the old system and get rid of the wild cards? I mean, if there's only 50 to 55 teams and not the 66 and 68 like we had before in each class, do we really need a wild card? And I expect that that'll be a topic here in the near future. There are no wild cards in wrestling, people. You win, you are in. And we are glad to be joined for the second consecutive year. We get to call them the state champions in Class A, the Islanders of Grand Island. Mike Shadwinkle is with us. And, Coach, again, congratulations.
Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Well, Mike, I asked Tyler Herman from Amherst the question, a little different because their first state championship, as he was the coach, was 5 years ago. Now you're back-to-back. Talk about the difference of last year and this year.
Well, it's two different teams. I mean, I know it's a lot of the same kids, but, you know, some kids graduate, and then you get some new ones in the lineup, and it's amazing how much the dynamics of a team can change just by that. So, you know, this one's a little different. It's special, but it's... you know, it's different than the last one. Last year, everybody was so hungry. You know, they'd never done it before. We didn't have a single state champion, individual state champion in our lineup. You know, and then this year to come back with three returning state champions and a couple returning finalists and stuff. And, you know, just guys with a lot of experience, and that hunger's a little different. And the pressure's a little heavier. And so those things make the team a lot more different. But, you know, equally special, equally amazing. Just different group of kids and different dynamics of it.
Well, last year, if my numbers are right, four champs. This year, five champs. And when you were able to stack them there four in a row from 25 to 30, or 19 to 35, and just about every single one of those was pretty exciting. How was your heart rate when they took the break for the medals?
Well, if you noticed, after that third one, after Carlos Rodriguez won his at 130, I had to take my coat off. I was sweating so bad. But then Matt Rice's at 135 wasn't short of excitement either. You know, that one went right down to the wire, and then Matt got a last-second takedown to win it. But, you know, it was fun. It was a fun run to just sit there and just to get it steamrolling with Andrew Reedy. And then, you know, and he had a great performance and had a real gutsy performance, especially after he kind of goofed up. His nose started bleeding, and he ran off the mat without asking permission and gave up that point right there. And that one kind of caught us all off guard a little bit and really put us in a bad spot against a tough kid in that Jake Miller, you know. But then Andrew was, you know, had a gutsy performance just to hang around and keep battling, you know. And then we got that point back when Miller was trying to peel hands, and, you know, and they knew that if Andrew got his arm locked up on top, he was going to his back. And so they fought hard to get that, and, you know, ended up getting a point back with the grabbing a finger or two there, and so that worked out, you know. And then Andrew scored the escape and was able to fight him off in the third period and not give up a takedown, you know. And then Blake's match, just, you know, we're just sitting there going, oh boy, this one's not going well. And then, you know, the Omaha North kid chooses down, and then Blake was able to turn him once and then turn him again and ended up finishing the second time. So, you know, and then Carlos's match against Galloway, a two-time returning state champ, to, you know, and really wrestled the plan. You know, we'd really told him, if you can keep this thing really close, he's going to get tired, you know. And he ended up taking his injury timeout like we knew he would to catch his breath. And, you know, Carlos just stayed right in there and kept battling and got the stall calls and stayed right in his face. And it was enough to get the win. So, I mean, that spring of four matches was just tremendously exciting. And then, you know, to come back and have Nate win his and get an overtime takedown win over previously undefeated Jordan Heiderman was another one that was just amazing.
Mike Shadwinkle, the head wrestling coach at Grand Island, joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Mike, was there ever a time this season where you were worried about your team or thought that maybe the end result was maybe not going to be as attainable as everybody else thought it was going to be?
No, yeah, there's lots of moments. You know, we had, you know, Corey Frankenberg gets a shoulder just ripped all the heck when he wrestled Ronald Coleman the first time. You know, I'm sitting there thinking, wow, you know, we might be down a heavyweight, you know, and for all intents and purposes, we shouldn't have had him. But, you know, Corey showed a lot of guts and a lot of heart and really wanted to come back. And, you know, the doctors weren't necessarily in favor of it, but they said, you know, it's your senior year. If you want to do it, go ahead. But you potentially could rip that thing up even worse. So, you know, for him to come back, you know, and then have Nate Westbury go through a two-week string with mono and not practice, not in school, not anything, you know, all of those things, you know. And we had some injuries with Coleman Westerby and Alan Taylor had fighting some injuries. You know, we had a lot of potential things that could have really hurt our team. And so, you know, there was a lot of moments along the way that I was worried that we were, you know, weren't going to be able to do it, or that, you know, piecing it together, we might be a little thinner than we'd like to be going into the state tournament. Fortunately enough, everything worked out. The kids, I got to give them a lot of credit because they, like I said, fought through a lot of injuries and a lot of sickness and a lot of stuff that, you know, could have really held us back.
Mike, a lot of people are talking about this being a dynasty at Grand Island. Your take on that and what your team is going to look like next year?
Well, you know, we got a lot of work to do now, and I'm already looking at plans to get back to work. And, you know, we're graduating a phenomenal senior class. You know, Matt Rice leaves with a state championship and three medals. Cameron Mettenbrink, a great kid that, you know, only got one medal, but it's a third-place medal that we're losing. Bo Jepson's got two state medals. You know, Alan Taylor, a two-time state finalist and a three-time medalist. Corey Frankenberg, a two-time medalist, and then, of course, Nate Westerby, a four-time medalist and two-time champ. I mean, we're losing a phenomenal senior class. And so, you know, obviously we've got a great group of sophomores, and, you know, we still have some good juniors that, we've got a lot of talent left in our room, but we've got to really get back to work, and we've got to fill in some spots and stuff. So, you know, if people want to start talking about a dynasty, that's great, but, you know, we've got to do the work, and that's exactly what my talk with the kids after school is going to be about is, you know, this is great, and it's a great accomplishment, and we definitely need to take a few moments and just enjoy this for a little while, but, you know, we've got to get right back to the old drawing board and you know, keep our youth programs up and running and spend lots of time working with our young kids and try to make it a dynasty. I mean, that's, you know, things have been great and they're going well, but, you know, this season's over, and like I said, we've got to enjoy it for a little while, but then it's right back to work to try to go get some more.
Any changes in the schedule next year? I know you want to get back to the, at least the class show. Any changes there?
Yeah, we're agreed on paper to go back to the clash. The top of the Rockies tournament, I think we're probably going to go back to, you know, unless we can, I might do a little researching around and see if there's something else maybe that might be equally exciting another good two-day tough tournament out of state somewhere. But, you know, as long as our administration is going to let me keep fundraising and let us keep doing these good tournaments, because I really believe that they paid massive dividends for us this weekend. You know, our kids were in great shape. Our kids were ready mentally to wrestle in those big matches, and I can't help but think that those big tournaments were a big part of that. Those experiences really helped our kids.
13-1 in the first round, 10 kids in the semis, and then they have five state champions. The Islanders of Grand Island, 228.5 points to blow away the Class A competition and win their second consecutive state title. Mike Shadwinkle, the head coach, with us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, always appreciate the time, and great working with you again this year. Congratulations, and we'll start another run in December.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks a lot for all you guys do for covering wrestling, and I always appreciate talking with a good radio crew and a good media outlet anytime when they're doing a great job of publicizing our sport. So I appreciate it, and best of luck to you guys, and we'll see you next winter.
Hey, sounds good. Thanks for the kind words, Mike. Mike Shadwinkle, head coach of the Grand Island Islanders, has just a dominating performance, but yet, as dominant as it was, they didn't score as many points as they did last year with 252. So there's a chance there for these teams. We may be getting into a run here where we're going to continue to hear about the same teams over and over and over. And, you know, the good thing is they're local teams. So congratulations. And it's not just the champions. Kearney High, the runner-up in Class A, they had a heck of a meet, and they are able to take the runner-up trophy in a Class B. Scutt wins it for the 13th consecutive year, followed by Boys Town. Adams Central was ninth. Aurora finished in 10th place. In Class C, Madison and Mitchell tied, but great job, Wood River. Third place for Wood River. Nobody saw that coming that high. They had a great meet. Central City finished in fifth, the defending champions. Hastings St. Cecilia was 10th. Kearney Catholic was 17th. Amherst winning it. Palmer the runner-up. Sutton finished in sixth. And Ansley Arcadia 10th at the state wrestling tournament. Well, that's going to get us to the end of our program today. We want to thank Gene Beerbaum for joining us from the National Wild Turkey Federation. Their banquet is coming up on Saturday. If you need more information, ntwf.org, or you can call Gene at 440-2449. And of course, to the state championship coaches, Tyler Herman of Amherst and Mike Shadwinkle of Grand Island. Tomorrow on the program, we'll talk with Nebraska women's play-by-play boys Matt Coatney. Among our guests, we'll get into the high school basketball boys sub-district, girls district finals. Troutman's Tuesday trivia coming your way tomorrow as well. Everybody pretty much off until Wednesday. Congratulations to Hastings College men and women. They get a first-round bye. They will host conference tournament games Thursday. UNK is home Friday and Saturday. The Storm home Friday and Saturday. So a lot is going on. And the Huskers, well, the men, they go to Iowa State. The women will be going to Oklahoma on Wednesday. Don't forget, tomorrow night, Huskers Illustrated recruiting expert Sean Callahan, complete with his video on the 2010 recruiting class, will be at the Chicken Coop in Kearney beginning at 6. That's tomorrow night, Huskers Illustrated Sean Callahan, and we'll talk to Sean on the show tomorrow as well, part of the 2010 recruiting class at the Chicken Coop tomorrow night at 6. We'll see you tomorrow at 11 on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!